help us.
Welcome to the Friday podcast. We're both a little stuffed with ice cream today. We had some fans of ours that just started this new ice cream company called Brooker's Founding Flavors send ice cream. So it was 3 hours of taste testing and
10 flavors.
I don't think we can, either of us can move. But in that time, we also talked about Bernie Sanders and his health care. His health care plan is insane. We also had the Biden bracket where Ted Stanley and Rock Rockwell stopped by to tell us about that. Fascinating conversation with Blake Harris on his book, The History of the Future, which is something that everyone should know. It's a story of corruption, a real true crime, political silencing at Facebook, the history of the future. Brad Palumbo talked a little bit about how the left and the right can come together, but the left won't do it. The black hole and the donut scandal. I believe, yes, that there's no pictures of black holes. It's a donut, and I proved it, and you can see the evidence that we put together on glennbeck.com. You can see that from today's podcast as well. And don't forget, tomorrow's podcast is a must-listen. It is Arthur Brooks, formerly from the American Enterprise Institute. He's now going, next fall, he'll be making his premiere, his debut as a Harvard professor. He's one of the greatest free market minds you've ever met, and he's got a really inspirational message, empowering message, and that is on Saturday's podcast, Arthur Brooks.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
I love Patriot Mobile. Here's the thing. Cell service, almost all of it is exactly the same because everybody's using the same cell towers, okay? And what these companies do is they get their own customers and they charge all kinds of really high prices. Then they sell time on that tower to other companies and they charge really, really the low basic rate. Now, you're denying those companies that own those cell towers the money, all that big fat profit, to be able to go and donate to things like Planned Parenthood. So if you switch to another one that has the same coverage but is not giving that big fat profit, you hurt that, you know, big company. You also help the little company and you help your own causes because that little company is not giving all the money to Planned Parenthood. That's Patriot Mobile. They share your values. They know what you are, what your hard earned money is worth, and they'll give you the exact same coverage. It's patriotmobile.com/blaze. Patriotmobile.com/blaze. Go sign up now. They make the transition really, really simple. Switch to Patriot Mobile now. On today's show, I am going to prove that we never went to the moon.
You've got some evidence.
I have evidence.
I was surprised about.
Okay, so I'm going to prove we never went to the moon, and NASA is still lying to us. You saw that picture of the black hole?
Yes, I have.
I have a theory. That is a glazed donut on a piece of black velvet. And he hit the lighting right, and you just knock the camera out of focus. And that's a glazed donut. That is not a black hole.
Oh, first picture of a black hole.
No, it's not. It's a donut hole. And I can prove it, and we will do side by side.
To be clear, it is not a donut hole, which is something else you would buy, mm-hmm. also known as a munchkin, mm-hmm. which is hateful, I believe, mm-hmm. by Dunkin' Donuts.
Right.
But no, yeah, it's not a donut hole. Mm-hmm. It's an actual donut with a hole in it
right.
that you believe represents what the black hole picture is.
I'm telling you, NASA says, oh, look, we just took a picture of it. No, you didn't. You put a donut, a glazed donut, on a piece of velvet and knock the camera out of focus, and that's what you're saying is a black hole. And I will prove it on today's program.
Now, before you do what you're about to do, because we're going to talk about Bernie Sanders' Medicare for all thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's start it with something that's going to make us need Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
At least for us.
Mm-hmm.
We have, first of all, donut talk. Second of all, we have tons and tons of ice cream to taste today during the show.
This is the greatest day of my life.
This is
I could die happy right now.
I mean, I don't know why we're doing anything else. Forget right. Bernie Sanders. He's a socialist, whatever. I mean, whatever.
We're all going to die whatever. Someday.
No, we have Brooker's Founding Flavors, which you talked about a couple weeks ago.
Okay, these are people who started their own ice cream store. And I am not kidding you. I've only had a couple of their flavors when I was out by their store. They came and they brought some ice cream a couple of weeks ago. And I said to my wife, I want a franchise.
You actually came back legitimately pitching for a franchise. You wanted to really do
it. I really want a franchise. I want a part of this because I could die happy. I could retire and go work at an ice cream store. Mm-hmm. It'd be the greatest thing of my life.
Yes.
And it's got the Founding Fathers stuff in it. This is me. I'm all in. I wasn't necessarily all in until I like the idea of an ice cream store. But this is, 18%? Butterfat?
That is, I believe, what they said, yes.
So now the best ice cream I've ever had is Bluebell here in Texas. And people will talk about Bluebell. If you've ever been to Texas and you've had Bluebell, you talk about it and everybody's like, it is the best. And you don't think it could get better once you've had it. And that is 14%
13.
Butter? 13.
Now, and Bluebell does not even hit the 14%, which is the level for super premium, I think it is, or mega premium, or exotic premium, or so there's some level of ice cream where you get there because
it's like the ice cream of kings is right? 14%.
Bluebell's good ice cream, but Bluebell's ice cream you go and you get in a half gallon at a grocery store. Like, it's really good ice cream. There's a level of like craft ice cream that is available now if you don't mind spending $12 a pint for it.
Yeah, not craft with a K.
No, not craft with a K. That's right. It's like craft beer, right? Like, right. Now there's millions of these crazy varieties. Now, this one is not one of them, because a lot of these are mail order, and I've actually ordered some of these before, and it's insane. It's like, triple the calories per serving.
Have you
serving.
Had any of this yet?
I haven't had any of it. I'm so excited. So we have two flavors to start off. Okay. We've paired the Adams together. There's Abigail Adams Salted Crack Cookie Advice and Samuel Adams, Father of the Cookies and Cream Revolution.
Okay. Which one's the white one and which one's kind of
really
the...
a question from someone? If someone knows ice cream, they know Cookies and Cream is obviously the one with Oreos in it.
I can't tell which is
Oreo.
Okay. I see it. All right. I see it.
One's caramel. No, jeez. All right. Let's try it.
Oh, my gosh. This is so good. Which one are you trying?
The Cookies and Cream one.
Oh, I'm trying the other one. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
Try the other one.
Okay.
The one with this has caramel in it and chocolate.
I'm a big caramel guy, too.
And notice the ice cream. It is like... This sounds gross, but imagine the creaminess. It's almost like eating a stick of butter. Not in a gross way.
It doesn't taste like that.
It doesn't taste like that. It's just so creamy.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. That's over the top.
Oh, my gosh.
It like sticks to your tongue.
This is the best ice cream I've ever had.
Like sticks to your tongue.
Oh my gosh,
so creamy.
Is good.
And like this is why, and we've talked about this a million times.
Oh my gosh, this is good.
This is why
the cookies and cream one.
This is why our country was founded.
This is why our listeners are so great.
Listeners, whatever. What I'm talking about is this nation was founded to create things like this.
God.
You think they have this in North Korea?
No.
There's no ice cream that tastes like this in Cuba.
There's no fat in North Korea, except on one guy. This is unbelievable.
Oh, really good. Those are two. And like, we kind of started off with, these are two flavors that look really good. These are not, we have a whole menu of flavors today to taste test. This is not the one I would pick. I don't think I would pick either one of these. I do like cookies and cream.
I like cookies and cream. I would not have picked the other one.
Yeah,
is that the Abigail?
Yeah.
And that is, I haven't even tried the cookies and cream. That is unbelievable.
Mm. So, two flavors.
This is smoked, Brooker's.
Yes, Brooker's Founding Flavors.
Mm-hmm.
It's you have the Abigail Adams one, which is smoked salted caramel ice cream with crack cookie chunks. And then the Samuel Adams, which is cookies and cream ice cream, chunks of chocolate sandwich cookies.
It is my goal today to do two things. Blake Harris. His book was 33,336 or 32 2 days ago.
Yeah.
It had been out for a month. Nobody had read it. This guy is a liberal journalist who found out the truth about what was going on because of Donald Trump and the way the press was treating the supporter of Donald Trump, and it's a huge story. No one would cover it. No one. And this guy is a great writer. Last night I got a note that his book is up to number 4.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's number 4, from 33,000 to number 4 because of this audience. He has no other interviews. It's my goal to make that book number 1. And it is also my goal for everyone to gain at least 3 pounds with Brooker's, what is it, Founding Flavors?
Yes. I've had 3 spoonfuls, so I already have gained the 3 pounds. that's what it feels like, at least. It is really good. So we'll give
you
more flavors.
This cookies and cream is... I've never tasted anything like that.
It is really good. Really good.
Oh, my gosh, this is good.
By the way, yes, we're eating ice cream at this time of day.
Yes, but we're looking at my retirement. I'm going to buy a franchise. When they start franchise... They don't franchise yet. When they start to franchise... This, you know what? This makes Cold Stone Creamery look like... I don't know. Dairy Queen.
This is always the Glenn way. He cannot give a compliment without insulting somebody else. I've had to deal with this for 20 years. 20 years of this. It's always...
But it's been a sweet, ice cream-filled 20 years, has it not?
I will say I've had more ice cream at work than I would have expected getting into this business. So thank you for that. Should we take a quick one-minute break and then talk about the Bernie Sanders thing? Because there are differences in this Bernie Sanders Medicare for All thing. From all the other pitches that you are not going to believe.
This is worse than the NHS in England. It is Venezuelan healthcare. It really is. It will blow your mind how far we have come. From Obamacare, where you can keep your doctors, to...
Oh, remember that.
You will not keep your healthcare. You will not keep your doctor, no matter what.
Nope.
And it is, this is a terrifying plan to be proposed in America. In fact, this plan is so radical, it would not even fly in Canada. This is way beyond Canada.
Unconstitutional in Canada.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and I want to tell you about something that you should either end your day with or start your morning with, and that is The News and Why It Matters. If you like this show, you're going to love The News and Why It Matters. It's a bunch of us that all get together at the end of the day and just talk about the stories that matter to you and your life. The News and Why It Matters. Look for it now wherever you download your favorite podcast. We have to touch base on something that we've been working on all week, and that is the Biden bracket. We started out with the 32 creepiest pictures of Joe Biden and whittled it down yesterday. We found out as the listeners spoke and each picture was pitted against another, we found the most creepy, or at least voted by the audience, the most creepy picture of Joe Biden. To talk about the Biden bracket, we go to our sports desk with Ted Stanley and Rock Rockwell.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ted Stanley, along with Rock Rockwell. Hi, Rock.
Hi, Ted. How are you?
You're very well, very well. The Biden bracket was an incredible week. We saw all sorts of incredible performances. We're talking grotastic things that happened well beyond what we believe is normal human interaction. Some interesting things happened in the early rounds, I felt, and that the number one overall seed in the tournament, which was Joe Biden, nuzzling up under a biker chick as her seemingly two boyfriends look on in horror. That one I really thought was going to go far and got knocked out in the second round. Rock.
That was a huge upset, Ted, because that was a strong entry for Joe. She was sitting directly on his lap, and both the men in her life were not looking happy about it.
Yeah, and if you really look at the details of this photo, you'll notice that the name on the biker guy on the right who looks horrified, his name is Troll. And if you look even closer, you'll notice it's actually President Troll. Now, that is actually on his jacket if you look at the photo. That is not something we expected. But there it is, of course. We also had that one, and I will say, in the first round, and it had did win in the first round, but won against a very surprising competitor, which was Joe Biden leaning over a series of chairs to put his hand on the inner thigh of Samuel Alito, a Supreme Court justice. I had never seen that one before. It really, really made a difference. Also, I'll say that the loss went to an interesting photo
with the former defense secretary of Barack Obama, Ash Carter, and his wife. And he was speaking and focused on a speech while Joe Biden almost made out with his wife right behind them. Seeing that in a public setting was shocking, Pat.
That was one of Joe's more impressive. One of Joe's more impressive performances.
Wait a minute. This is starting to come apart.
He really nuzzled in there. He got a good whiff of the hair. He got his head in. He got his nose right up into those follicles.
I'm pretty sure there was a little tongue involved, too, in the back of her neck. Ted, that was very, very impressive to me.
Great point. We can ask Joe Biden later, how does hair taste? We'll find that out on a future program. An early leader was Joe Biden as he's talking to, I don't know if it's the parents, another senator, and wrapping his hand only around onto the stomach of a young teenaged girl and seemingly checking her to see if she has abs is how I would describe that motion. Rock, I was surprised to see that.
It was a bold move. That's one that makes you proud of Joe and his prowess in this event.
You know, I hate to break in as the anchor man here and delve into sports, which I know nothing about.
That's right. That's right, Glenn. You do know nothing about
when
it.
When he was...
Because you're
he
not
was,
a man. He's not he was, a man, is he, Rock?
When he was...
He's not a... He's about 98% woman.
He certainly is. If we were doing a show about Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, he'd be able to come in and comment over and over again. But he really has no
sound of music. If Sound of Music is the topic, Glenn,
so
you're
I'm bad. Just what I'm saying here is he might have been checking for abs, but to me it appears he was just checking for any kind of lumps the young 13-year-old might have been developing.
Well, I think we'll leave that one alone. Go check that one out on the internet. There are some moments in which that does look like it could be happening a little bit. We also have Chris Coons' daughter, who is a young woman. And, you know, one of the interesting things, we've all seen people who want to say they're really advanced at groping, Rock. But what sets someone like Joe Biden apart here is the ability to walk right through the obvious human signals of someone pulling away. You know, it's one thing to grope someone against their will. It's another thing to sniff their hair as they continually pull away and then try to land a kiss on their cheek.
Any good performer, Ted, needs to have amnesia. And and Joe seems to have no problem forgetting all of his past faux pas and just moving forward with the performance.
Like an offensive guy off the bench, a sixth man who comes in and tries to put some offense in. You got to have no conscience. You can't
no
be sitting there.
No conscience, no fear.
You just got to go for it, and that's what Joe Biden always does, as he did with a reporter at a Christmas party, where he wrapped his hands around her and seemingly inched towards her breastial regions. Her breastial regions.
As an anchor, I would just like to point out, again, I don't know anything about sports, but I don't think breastial is actually a word.
No, it actually should be snoobage. Snoobage is actually the word that you're looking for there.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Rock. Also, you know, an interesting, I thought, moment in this tournament was Joe Biden reaching over, bringing in close an Eva Longoria inner prime, and getting right again in there, sniffing every bit of that L'Oreal or whatever the hell she had on. And I think that one did not advance too far in this tournament because she looks really good and people understood it. What are your thoughts on that? You know, I think people were just like, all right, I kind of would have done the same thing if I were Joe. Your thoughts on that, Rock Rockwell?
Yeah, that's an underrated performance from Joe because a lot of people might have been intimidated by the person on the other side of the affection. But Joe had no such qualms.
He doesn't care.
Joe's kids, aggressive.
Adults, men, none of it matters to Joe Biden. Now, if we got down to the final four yesterday, we had the red dress girl. He was checking for abs or lumps. We have Chris Coons' daughter, who is visibly pulling away. And then after she pulls away multiple times, he goes in for a kiss. That is something you don't normally see. I'll tell you that much.
Then that is persistence.
You had the reporter. Can you imagine someone from another party groping a reporter on camera? What that would do to your news feed. But you didn't even notice this one because it was Joe Biden. And then you also had another young And this one was tough. I thought this one picture, which actually made it all the way to the final two, was maybe... It just seems like his hand is dangling in a very unfortunate place. But I guess if you believe Joe Biden, it, you know, Rock, we talk about this all the time.
You know, this is Pat, you keep mistaking me for.
You know, it was your fill-in when you were sick last week. When you have these sorts of performers, when you go to the top, you have people who walk through anything. You have people who do things unconsciously. It's not like they're thinking through every moment. They just go out there. They just hit the ball. They just pull up and nail the jump shot. That might be Joe Biden in this spot. I don't know that he's intentionally groping this child, but he's just so good at it, it almost happens naturally.
It is natural for him, I think, Ted. I think that that when Joe sees a female, or a male for that matter, and they're in close proximity, he is his hands just naturally go into action. He's had so much training in this field.
Or he has the worst luck in the world. Hands constantly just going into private parts of women. And we also have the winner. Yesterday was named on the Glenn Beck program. This is a. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this program at all. Do you have any idea what they do?
I have no idea. I don't know.
He looked like an insane conspiracy theorist. He had all these magnets on the board and he's throwing around and screaming about something. I don't know. But I will say the girl in the red dress being checked for abs slash lumps was the winner. And Joe, the just the incredible achievement of doing that on camera. And a public event, really, I think, is what put that over the top. I think if it happened behind closed doors, you'd say to yourself, well, that is weird, and that person should be put in prison. But this, to do it in front of cameras over and over again, wow, what an achievement. Our champion in the 2019 Biden bracket, Joe Biden, while talking to the mom, gropes his daughter. Well, not his daughter, her daughter, I guess.
Right, okay.
Whoever it was.
Right.
And I don't know. We did not get any results of the lumps. We don't know. Hopefully we never
test
find out.
Results will be returned soon. Thank you, Ted Stanley and Rock Rockwell.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Glenn, I don't recall what time of day it was where my article went live, but I remember it was Saturday, and within 30 minutes of being published, I had already been called a Nazi, a white supremacist, a stupid effing liar. In fact, a longtime friend, one of my college roommates actually, even texted me and said that he was embarrassed for me. And that it was really sad that I had gone from a writer with so much promise to a misguided MAGA apologist. I vividly recall reading that text message. As I did, I wanted to crumble. I wanted to evaporate. I wanted to go back in time and never have started work on this book in the first place. I remember specifically thinking, this is supposed to be a book about a scrappy tech company filled with colorful characters. This was supposed to be a book that had nothing to do with politics. What had I gotten myself into? And more importantly, what's the point? Why was I going out of my way to try to set a record straight for a multimillionaire whose political views I often disagreed with and who had supported a presidential candidate that I found repugnant? Why hadn't I just picked another fun, loving, beloved topic like Sega and Nintendo, my last book? That would make everybody happy and nostalgic to read. And I would earn applause from everyone and the press and the pride from my friends. For several minutes, I sat there feeling sorry for myself, continuing to wonder again and again, what was the point? What was the point of continuing to push my deadline to try to dig deeper into what really had happened? And then for all my extra works, met with little more than ire. Seriously, what was the point? And then, aided by a refreshing cup of coffee, the answer became overwhelmingly obvious. Because that's what journalism is. You follow the story wherever it takes you, and never, however tempting it may be, the other way around. You follow leads. You examine evidence. You continue to dig deeper and deeper until you get to it. You get to the truth, not for the praise you think you deserve, not to try to be everybody's best friend, but because however fast or partisan or cynical the world has gotten,
the truth still matters. It still matters so much. So much that from that moment forward, I knew chasing the truth was more important than whatever it might cost me and my career, especially because I could afford it, both literally due to the success of my first book and figuratively due to my having front row seats to see what Lucky Palmer had gone through, going from a beloved high-tech wunderkind to Silicon Valley's biggest pariah. And my knowing, no matter how bad things might end up for me, they'd never be worse than what he had already gone through. This is from a private letter that I received from Blake Harris. I got it a couple of nights ago, and I asked for his permission to share it. He's with us on the phone now. The book that he wrote that has cost him his career and his friends and his standing is The History of the Future. When he was on the program, 3 days ago, his book was 33,332. Last night, I got word that it hit number 4. The only exposure that he had had up until this program was this program. No one wanted to support him because of the truth of this book. Half of it is about the miracle of the free market and inventors and how one kid in a trailer can change the world. Then it takes a political turn, and not by his choice. Welcome to the program, Blake Harris.
Thank you so much for having me on. And I texted your producer the other day and also wrote in that email that my job is literally to come up with words, but I am still sort of speechless. Before we get into it, I really just want to thank you again so much and your listeners and your viewers, to go from my book being ranked 33,000 to number 3 and even surpassed number 3. Number 3.
We're going to get it to number 1. Blake, you're going to have a number 1 bestseller.
it's life-changing and beyond it being the greatest feeling in the world. A close second is just the dozens of letters that I've received from your listeners over the past few days, just saying thank you. I mean, like to the point that I made in that email, no one was saying thank you, and that's not why I do it. But it's certainly nice to hear.
Yeah, I know.
And to hear it from people who probably have pretty different views than me. That's wonderful, because the point, who cares? It's irrelevant. It's not about left and right. It's about right and wrong,
I tell you, Blake, the media gets much of America wrong. And the left and the right get much of America wrong. We're not as focused on winning as we are living truth and letting the chips fall where they may. We are very interested in everybody being free and being able to express who they want to what they want to express, and very much into, I've at the height of my Fox days and for years after, one of my key people on the daily line of production was a San Francisco progressive that voted absolutely every time the complete opposite of me. And we're good friends. I appreciated her counsel. I asked for her counsel. I mean, it was an important thing to work and have many different views around me. Otherwise, you just get trapped in an echo chamber. And I think people are sick of my way or the highway.
Well, that's what makes these conversations even more important and timely, is that at the end of the day, Palmer Luckey is just a proxy for what is going on with big tech. He is a high profile story, but it's a story that so many people have experienced to some degree. Either it's happened to a friend, some sort of censorship, and Facebook's my way or the highway mentality is just going to keep getting stronger unless we push back on it. In fact, I mentioned on the show the other day that I've basically spoken to Palmer Luckey every day for the past 3 years for the book, but I still continue to talk to him. And let me pull this up. But you know, yesterday we were just chatting about, what is it? It's Facebook's new content policy. Where is it? They posted a new policy to the Facebook newsroom. It's called Remove, Reduce, Inform: New Steps to Manage Problematic Content. And you know, one of the things it says is, if a meme doesn't constitute hate speech or harassment, but is considered in bad taste, lewd, violent, or hurtful, it could get fewer views. And so, you know, that's first of all, let me. I think I can guess what kind of content is going to be considered lewd, hurtful, inappropriate. It's certainly not going to be equally
no.
content from liberal content and conservative content, first of all. And then second of all, just the fact that it might get fewer views. We know we talked sometimes about shadow banning and basically not even, you know, that's so bad because you don't even know that your content is being banned mm-hmm. or, you know, mitigated. And Facebook is here basically saying, yep, we've given ourselves the rights to do that. Don't worry about it. It's our way or the highway, but we'll say it in a more eloquent manner.
So, Blake, let me ask you, because you are a liberal, you don't necessarily, I can't even imagine, you know, what you and your friends, and you're not real political, so maybe you didn't have, but I'm sure some of your Silicon Valley friends had great opinions of me. And you don't need to reinforce that like that, but
they were not your biggest fans, but
yeah, I know that. I know that.
I do appreciate, you know, I've talked to them about, I didn't share your private email, but I told them some of the points that you made, and I guess at the end of the day, what I hope my book does, and it goes to what you just said, that the left and the right don't really have a proper opinion of each other or of the country. As I talk to my friends on the left, and they have such a inaccurate, crazy opinion of the right. And a lot of my friends on the right, of the people that I talked to for this book that were on the right, they have such a crazy opinion of the left. And at the end of the day, I think that we're all so much more similar than we believe. Yes. And I hope this book in some small way makes you realize, oh, the other side's not out to get me. They're not bad. They're not evil. They just think of certain things a little bit different.
So I agree. Work. So that leads me right to what I was going to say. I agree with that. And I went in to meet with Mark Zuckerberg about 4 years ago, and I really liked him. And I really thought he was being sincere, and he wasn't trying to stifle people's voices and everything else. And I stuck up for him, and I took massive amounts of heat for it. But I was willing to do it because I believed him. I no longer believe him. And so there are these questions that you say, well, wait a minute. They're not out to get us, but yet their policies are going that way to stifle the thoughts of people like me or anyone else and make me into a hate monger or my audience into a hate monger. And we're all racist and we have no platform. Well, that is you know, the very definition of an enemy, somebody who is trying to stifle my thought and categorize my thought into something that is not just another opinion, but hateful.
Right. And I think that that's what I've come to learn, is that there's this compartmentalization that allows for sort of that, you know, double thing, to quote George Orwell, where I do believe that Mark would probably pass a polygraph that for many of the things he says. And then he just plays this semantic gymnastics where, you know, if he believes, of course, his Facebook is a platform for diverse views. But then you take something as simple as abortion, you're pro-life versus pro-choice, and then he would think, oh, well, pro-life is not just a diverse view. That's immoral.
That's
even though
extreme.
I think there's probably a better case to be made the other way around.
Right.
And myself even being pro-choice. But, you know, that's kind of what I started to see. Once you do that, I just went down the list of conservative perspectives and thought, there is not a single one here, whether it's taxes or immigration, that most liberals I know would say is, you know, I disagree with, but that's a fair perspective to have. Most people would just say, most liberals I know would just say, well, that one's wrong.
So here's, and then I'll take a break. I'll let you think on this. And then I want to talk a little bit about the book, because I started reading it. It's fantastic. The one thing that comes to mind is I had dinner last night with a guy who doesn't agree with, or 2 nights ago, that doesn't agree with me on anything. In fact, he was a big enemy of mine, you know, quote unquote. And we had a very public battle, and it's not Van Jones for anybody who thinking it is. We had a great dinner. He asked to say, you know, I've seen a change in you and there's been a big change in me. Can we just talk? So we did. And we discovered we still don't agree with each other on anything, but we had a really good conversation. Then he wrote to me and he said, I saw you on Hannity. And he said, I can't square the two. He said, how are you saying this about the border? And, you know, blah, 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 blah. And what it was, I had to write to him last night and say, look, there's one thing about a welfare state. You want a big welfare state and you want the free market and you want the Constitution. That's great. There's another thing about saying, hey, I want socialism and not Swedish socialism because that's a free market. They're more free than we are. That's just a big, big welfare state with a very free market. And we can talk about that. But when you're starting to talk about things like banning the free market on healthcare, then I got trouble with you. But if you're a communist who is looking to overturn the Constitution and you're trying to do it intentionally through overwhelming the system, I don't have a lot of nice things to say. I mean, I think we should be able to agree that there are lines that you just say, I can't cross that. I can't cross that. If we're going to have a civil society, there are a few things that we have to agree on. And I think that the left is allowed to group everything from a big welfare state to communism together and say, look, it's all the same. No, it's not.
You're listening to the Best of the Glenn Beck Program.
We go to Brad Palumbo, who's with Young Voices and National Review. And Brad's been on us with us before. He wrote an op-ed in the Washington Examiner. Christians and LGBT advocates should come together and support Trump's fight against gay criminalization. Brad joins us now.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You bet. So tell me what's happening here, Brad.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Asian island nation of Brunei just enacted Sharia law. It went into effect in early April. So they're now one of 72 countries that criminalize homosexual behavior. They make it illegal to be gay. In fact, they even give people the death penalty by stoning. So thankfully, I think this has triggered a bipartisan backlash. But what I really called on everybody in this piece to do is to come together, whether you're personally Christian, religious, conservative, or you're a wild progressive LGBT advocate.
Not going to happen.
You should all stand up for human dignity. It might not happen.
No, I tell you, it won't happen. I went when this was happening in Russia. Remember, they started giving, they started denying driver's license to people who were gay in Russia. And then there were
they outlawed news, like PDA in public. Remember the anti-PDA law,
right?
And it was when it was voted on. It was, if I'm not mistaken, unanimous in the Russian legislative branch.
So there were rumors that they were just scooping homosexuals up, and they were killing them in one of the provinces or districts or whatever they call them over there.
Chechnya.
Pardon me.
It was in Chechnya, right? And
right.
I want to actually give you credit on that, Glenn, because I listen to your show all the time, and I remember that you had some activists on, undercover activists from Chechnya, and you were out there being, I think, one of the only ones that I was aware of religious conservatives standing up for human dignity and standing up for human rights. So I think that you were an example with that.
Well, Brad, I will tell you that long before that, 3-4 years before that, I went and asked for a private meeting with GLAAD in New York. And I said, look, we're never going to agree on a lot of stuff. We're never going to agree on bakeries and everything else, but we can agree on human rights. And just because you're gay, you should not lose your driver's license. You should not lose your life. You should not, none of these things. And we can stand on this, and we have to come together. Christians who do not agree with you on what you're pushing, and you who don't believe with Christians, we need to come together and say, this cannot happen. I spent a the one of the most frustrating hours of my life in a meeting. They could not get past the cake. And
that bothers me to no end, Glenn.
I mean, it just showed me that you're not serious. You're not serious because cake is cake. At least homosexuals here can get married and they could go buy a cake someplace else. These people are being killed. Where are your priorities?
Yeah, I've never had any trouble obtaining cake. I can tell you that, Glenn and Sue. But what it shows me, and I've been a longtime critic of kind of the progressive LGBT movement for exactly this reason. You know, Trump derangement syndrome is real, guys. I remember after Trump announced this initiative to fight the decriminalization of homosexuality worldwide, it's an initiative led by Ambassador Rick Grenell. The progressive reaction to it was kind of ridiculous. I mean, one op-ed in Out magazine, an LGBT publication, well, it went viral because it bizarrely argued that Trump's plan to decriminalize homosexuality is an old racist tactic.
Oh, my gosh.
These people are not discussing these issues in good faith, and they're more interested in weaponizing them for political purposes than actually coming together and getting things done, and that's a shame.
And where has Donald Trump ever given any indication that he was anti-homosexual? Ever?
I think as far as Republican presidents go, he is, on issues of gay rights, definitely the best that I've ever known. In fact, I mean, he came into the Oval Office with a neutral position on same-sex marriage, right? States should have the right to legalize it. It's settled law. That's better than what Barack Obama was saying in 2008. So I give him credit on that, even if he does in general, have some positions maybe I wouldn't personally agree with.
On homosexual rights?
No, but okay. I do think some of his stances on transgender issues are more controversial. But I think on gay rights, he absolutely has been probably the best president in modern history. He's definitely the best Republican.
So Brad, what do you suggest that people do?
So I think that we can all do something to stop these atrocities that are going on in Brunei and going on in 71 other countries, regardless of our partisan feelings. One thing you can do is you can support President Trump's initiative, right? He's already taking diplomatic steps to punish countries that are violating the human rights of gay people. Look at how tough he's been on Iran. Iran is one of the worst countries in the world to be gay, and he's taken all sorts of diplomatic actions against them. Another thing we can do is boycott the American hotels that Brunei actually owns. The Brunei Sultan and royal family own a number of hotels in America.
What are they?
So I don't have a list in front of me, but you can actually go to George Clooney's Twitter account, and he's tweeted them all out. I wouldn't normally be, I think, allies with George Clooney, but hey, that shows you how we should all be able to come together on this. Another thing I would encourage people to do is to donate to the charity Rainbow Road. A lot of these LGBT charities are extremely political, extremely partisan. Rainbow Road is not one of those. What they do is they help LGBT people escape and flee countries where their lives are in danger from oppressive governments. So most importantly, I think everyone's just got to love thy neighbor, you know, and embrace an attitude of human dignity and mutual tolerance.
I feel like this is a little bit too heavy an issue to ask this question, but do you think the NASA photo was faked with a glazed donut?
Well, I haven't seen the rest of your show yet. So I mean, haven't seen the hard evidence.
Brad, when you see it, if we can get it right, do we have the first photo? Let's bring up the first photo. Bring up the first photo.
Okay,
now see, this doesn't work.
Oh, no, it's closer than I thought it would be, though. I mean,
yeah, but it's not right.
You're right. It's not right.
That could be something, but it does still kind of look like a donut.
We'll tweet these photos out individually,
yeah,
by the way.
We got to get rid of, I think we have to hit some of the lights. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Brad, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Assistant editor for Young Voices. Would you write down, what is it, Rainbow Road?
Rainbow Road, yeah.
Would you write that down so we can look into that organization?
I will. I think
that's an organization. If that's really what they do, I support that organization.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, this is the issue of focusing on low-hanging fruit, right? Like, this is low-hanging fruit. The ability that, you know, the idea that we can step together and say, okay, Donald Trump, yeah, he's the guy you don't like on the left, but you know what he's doing? He's going after people who are victimizing these groups you say you care so much about. Instead of arguing about politics here in the United States, here's something that we can all actually be on the same side on.
Doesn't raise money, though.
No,
that's the deal.
Does it get clicks?
It doesn't get clicks, yeah. And it doesn't raise money.
I know, and that's. I mean, that is a huge problem, and I don't care if it never gets a click. It's worth talking about because there are a million issues like that where, you know, Arthur Brooks, who's on your podcast this weekend,
really good,
who's awesome. He's one of my personal heroes.
Like, Mine too.
Legitimately, he's able to do all the things I say in my head I want to do. He's somehow
Me
able to do them.
Right? Too.
You know, right?
Yeah.
And he's super smart, and he's run American Enterprise Institute. Go watch his TED Talk on capitalism and what it's done in the world. Again, it's a TED Talk. This is not a conservative audience. He's able to go to these places where people don't even hear these ideas about how good capitalism is and tell these stories. And, you know, he does that really, really well. And one of the ways he does it is that. There's a million issues in which we can find common ground and both all be right on. And his point is, instead, we are incentivized by the media and all of these other things to focus on the slight differences and make them as expansive as possible. And now, look, we have real differences with people like Bernie Sanders. And this is, you know, Arthur Brooks is a conservative. He's not arguing we adopt his policies by any means. But instead of constantly looking for the outrage and the conflict, trying to instead find those things where we can actually persuade people to our point of view.
Yeah, he's a brilliant, brilliant guy. And he's going to be on the podcast this weekend. That's the Saturday podcast. Wherever you get podcasts, make sure you sign up for the Glenn Beck podcast. You get this show every day. And then on Saturdays, you get an amazing interview with somebody that has just something incredible to tell. Arthur Brooks is one of the most hopeful people I think I've ever met. He'll make you believe that, you know, wait a minute, hang on just a second. No, freedom might actually win here. And he's right. He's right. If we just start looking at the right things.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.